you're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Melissa Davlin with Idaho Public Television. Like every arts organization, the Boise Philharmonic had to adjust much of their programming in response to the coronavirus pandemic in March. They've recently announced their 2020-2021 concert series, which includes a lot of adjustments to avoid mass gatherings. These creative solutions are what keep the Boise Phil and other arts organizations around the state afloat during a crisis that is having a particularly devastating impact on the arts. Joining us today to talk about how this new season will look different are Laura Reynolds, Executive Director of the Boise Phil, and their Music Director, Eric Garcia. Welcome to Idaho Matters, and Eric, what is that lovely music we're hearing right now from the Boise Phil?
We are hearing the second movement of Schubert's Symphony Number 5 in B-flat major, a piece he composed just on the cusp of turning 20. Beautiful work, and the performance is from February of 2019. So it's wonderful to hear that. It's a great reminder of us in the concert hall.
Yeah, from the before, right?
Yes.
Laura, it seemed like when coronavirus made it to Idaho in mid-March, organizations had to adjust overnight. What was it like for you as an arts organization to watch how this crisis affected the entire industry?
That's such a good question. You know, I think like everyone, we were just devastated at having to cancel our events, but really grateful to this community because this community showed up for our artists in big ways, and we were able to continue to employ our musicians and staff throughout all of the spring and come together to reimagine our season in a way that answers the question of how can we show up for our community in a way that keeps us all healthy and safe and still continue to create art.
So for this upcoming season, the big change that you've made is the creation of a digital stage for the Boise Philharmonic's performances. Can you talk about what that will look like?
Yeah, I'm happy to. It's really exciting for us because we've partnered with the Vimeo platform, and we're going to be able to share our performances throughout the season across all your devices. So whether that's on your web or your mobile device or your TV, it's really exciting because the access to the Philharmonic just expands enormously. So we're able to really take our music out of the concert hall and into your home. And we're really thrilled about that. And I think the way that Eric has really crafted the season highlights these beautiful stories of our local community in Idaho. And we're able to sort of make lemonade out of the lemons of the coronavirus this season.
And that's so interesting to me that it's such a more intimate feel. As I was reading about it before, it seems like you have this more personal connection with the musicians. Eric, did you have to reconfigure any of the actual arrangements or the way that you arrange or play to accommodate for this entirely different presentation of the music?
Yes, that's a great question. So obviously, we had the well-being of our audiences and musicians at the forefront of all of the planning. So that certainly included the repertoire, the concerts that we will be presenting. So this really presented an exciting opportunity. It's a celebration of chamber music. I mean, this was a way to continue performing great music for our audiences, but safely. And as you said, this also presents, I think, a chance for our audiences to see all of our musicians up close and personal. And I love that. I think that's just a really wonderful theme, especially for this year where we've been separated. And I think it builds on the close bond that we have with our audiences. And so when I look at the great canon of classical music, so much of our greatest music is chamber music. So yes, when I was designing this season, as with any season, I wanted to honor the great works of our classical canon. So that's Mozart, Brahms, it's Beethoven, Stravinsky, and many, many more. And of course, I wanted to celebrate the music of our living and lesser known composers. So this really actually led to what I think is a just refreshing series of concerts that, I don't know, it celebrates the community and the times that we live in. And it's, as Laura said perfectly, we've managed to make lemonade out of these lemons that were given to us.
And let's talk more about this project of highlighting quintessentially Idahoan sounds and music. You're looking at the 100th anniversary of women's suffrage. You have a project on celebrating the Bass Block and the Bass community. How do you take these concepts and present them as music?
That's a great question. Yes. So of course, you know, we are really thinking, all of us, I think, in the entire country and throughout the world, we're being very mindful of our community. We want to be there to honor the traditions and the great things about the people that are closest to us. So yes, here in Boise, we have this wonderful Basque cultural heritage. And there are so many wonderful composers of Basque heritage. And so it seemed like a perfect marriage, a perfect way to honor their heritage, their existence here in Boise, and this great classical music of Ravel and Sarasota. For our local composers that you mentioned, this concert entitled Sounds of Idaho, we'll actually celebrate three composers that reside in Idaho, David Allen Ernest, Jim Cockey, and Eric Alexander. And so to me, those felt so important. We're not only performing great music, classical and contemporary, but in doing so, we're also celebrating our community, our state. And I think it's so very important right now. And the concert, Women's Suffrage Centennial, it's just being very mindful and celebratory of the times in which we live. And so we will be featuring fantastic music by some of the great women composers that are writing right now. It's very exciting.
That's lovely. And that's where I'm going to have to cut you off. But for more information, people can go to boisephil.org. And coming up tomorrow, we'll continue our conversation about the history of racism in Idaho and talk about why learning about our past can inform conversations today about racial justice. Tune in for that at noon on Thursday. I'm Melissa Davlin with Idaho Public Television. You can hear today's program and previous interviews at our website, boisestatepublicradio.org.